From NPR Music, I'm Robin Hilton. It's All Songs Considered. Beck has done everything from country and psychedelic rock to hip-hop and funk, but his latest record is pure pop. Beck's latest album and 13th full-length is called Colors. It's perhaps his least experimental record so far. There aren't any chopped-up samples or surreal mashups that challenge the very notion of what music can be. He has done that. But Colors was still one of the most complicated and challenging records Beck has made. On this edition of the program, I talk with Beck about some of the songs by other artists that inspired him on this record, how he struggled to finish making Colors, and why he and co-producer Greg Kurstin took the album in this new direction.
I hate to use the word celebratory because that's a word that's been kind of bandied around with this record, and there's probably a better word for it, but this is kind of a feeling that I wanted the record to have before I knew what the songs were and what it was going to be all about. And then I wanted to, I think with the production, kind of reinvent and make what I do a little new again a bit for me. And it's interesting, I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, well, what did you want this record to be like? I said, I just wanted it to have a lot of light. And it's interesting, when you're looking at a color, you don't actually see the color, you're just seeing a reflection of light. And we all see colors differently. So I think the best music will ever be is some sort of reflection of something that doesn't really exist. And the greatest artists have, their music is filled with that kind of, you can call it love, or you can call it warmth, or you can call it just this intangible quality that just makes you feel better. You know, those are the artists we love the most.
We're going to hear some of the music on Colors, but you've also brought some songs by other artists that you want to play, music by other artists you want to play. And one that does exactly what you were just saying is Stevie Wonder's Don't You Worry About a Thing.
Yeah.
Cindy, Mama, you understand that?
No.
Well, like, I don't understand how you can, because, like, I've been to, you know, Paris, Beirut, you know, I've been to Iraq, Iran, Eurasia, you know, I speak very, very fluent Spanish. Todo está bien chévere. You understand that?
Bien chévere.
Chévere. Is that right, Mama?
Yeah,
because I got my shaking room. Everybody's got a thing. Some don't know how to handle it. Always reaching out in vain, just taking the things not worth having. But don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, Mama. 'Cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it out.
I think of him as a master, maybe McCartney, a few others, of something that is feel good, that has still has such substance in, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes this idea of feel good can be sort of something that's pandering, but the really great, like Michael Jackson, is also like just another kind of master of that. But I picked, you know, this song as well because it's musically, it's very sophisticated, but it's still something you can kind of, has that sort of pop pleasure to it.
So when you and Greg Kurstin got into the studio to work on the songs for Colors, what was the first one that you came up with?
Well, the first one we came up with was called Dear Life, and I don't know that that song particularly is sunny. It kind of has a, that musically it is, but I guess it's, it has something playful about it. You know, the lyrics are a little half serious, half tongue in cheek. The record to be something, you know, those kind of records you put on or you're in the car and it just sort of elevates the mood a little bit. You just kind of feel a little better. I wouldn't say that's my instinctive default in the kind of records I make, you know, so it's something that I have to kind of dig into and figure out a way to articulate that thing in a song for myself, you know, that made sense for me. So we explored a lot of things and we ended up doing a lot of kind of hip hop and dance music. You know, I think from there it kind of circled back towards something closer to what Dear Life was, which was kind of more of a classic rock, like Beatles-esque, Kinks, that kind of classic pop thing.
You've talked before about how some of these songs are deceptively complex, that they sound simpler than they are.
Yeah, there's certain songs that are harmonically complex, they're sophisticated musically, but you can, as a listener, you can just find direct, immediate, simple pleasure in the song, you know, even though it does some unusual and musically advanced things, you know.
Let's listen to one of the songs you picked that speaks to this, a song that a lot of people know very well, Strawberry Fields by the Beatles.
Let me take you down.
One of the things I always loved about Strawberry Fields is, you know, there have been some music fans who've sort of wrinkled their nose at Ringo over the years and say, you know, he wasn't really that good of a drummer. But listen to the drums on this song. I mean, he could have done just straight little fills, right, you know, right on the one, but he didn't.
Yeah, well, there are two kind of drummers. There's the ones who are just technically formidable. And then there's the drummers who just have great taste, you know? They're not necessarily going to win a drum off, but they do the most interesting things.
Right.
Just makes no sense, but it makes the entire song.
Strawberry Fields forever.
Someone in my band in the 90s got a bootleg. This is before they started re-releasing all the Beatles tapes and everything.
Right, yeah.
There was a bootleg of all the sessions for them recording Strawberry Fields Forever, and just dozens of versions of the song and how they edited it together. And it was, that was a real revelation, because as a kid you think, oh no, they just went in the studio and recorded Strawberry Fields. But what actually went into it was this incredibly complex process and this sort of experimental searching for something impossible, like a new sound, a new way of doing things, you know. And that, so I, that's always something that's stuck with me. I always wanted to do a record where you take it that far.
I was going to play Colors, but is there a song on with the title track, but is there a song on this record that sort of tells your own story, your own version of that story?
I think Colors is a good one, yeah. That's one of those where, you know, for better or worse, you know, it was a real, we tried 100 things, and the song is sort of a greatest hits of many, many ideas and iterations.
A lot going on in it. How did you get past those voices in your head that were keeping you from locking something down?
Well, we had a lot of time making this record because Greg, he was extremely busy, had 10 different things going on, and I was touring the whole time, and so there were long periods of time where we hadn't worked on something. So we revisit something, and then we would have a completely different take on it. It was a long process. It was funny, when you're playing this back, I'm thinking about, not only for each section, there's like multiple, many versions of each section that you'll never hear. Sections are from different years, you know?
Like, oh, wow.
The pre-chorus is from 1 year. The intro is from a totally different year. And it was, so it's a little surreal.
You ever think that you were second guessing yourself too much, or ever reach a
moment
where you're...
Yeah, for sure. I tend to like the demo. You know, I think the majority of what you hear on my records are the scratch vocal, the demo version, the version after we worked on it a bunch, and then I went back to the first thing we did. So I felt like the rough version had the charm, and it had this kind of unpremeditated thing. And I think the way that we approached this was obviously the opposite. And, you know, sometimes you have to do the opposite to kind of grow and see what happens. You know, maybe it's a disaster, who knows? But it's just something I wanted to try. And going back to the way they made a track like Strawberry Fields Forever, or God Only Knows, I don't think it's dissimilar in the approach we took, where you're trying 100 things and then you're bringing all these disparate pieces together into this one thing that could never be made if you just went into a room and said, okay, let's just play the song. You know, it's a different breed of song, I think.
Yeah. Let's take a short break, and we'll be back with more music.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from REI Co-op. In case you didn't know, REI Co-op stands for Recreational Equipment Incorporated Co-op. And this year, for the third year in a row, REI will be closing their doors on Black Friday and giving their employees the day off to spend outside with their families. This holiday season, REI is inviting you to skip Black Friday and become a very real part of Opt Outside. More information is available at rei.com/opt-outside.
It's All Songs Considered. I'm Robin Hilton. I'm talking with Beck about his latest album, Colors, and also some of the songs that he loves that helped inform this record, including one that you just mentioned before the break by the Beach Boys, God Only Knows.
always love you. But long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. The world could show nothing to me, so what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
I mean, undeniably beautiful, but what is the line, what's the line that you hear this song walking? You know, what are the two worlds that it's sort of inhabiting?
I hear about five worlds.
Yeah.
I hear this world of Hollywood film musicians, you know, musicians who were probably that morning playing on the soundtrack for a John Wayne movie or something.
Yeah.
And then you have sort of the state-of-the-art technology of that, the Hollywood recording studios. And then he's pushing his songwriting, you know, coming out of this sort of surf band. Rock and roll is still a novelty, you know.
At this point, yeah.
It's like this bold thing to... And you think about these vocal groups that were, you know, I'd say the Beatles were a vocal group. At least they started out as one as well. Comes from quartet singing, which was what you did, you know. If you were born in the 20s or the teens, like, you, that's what you did through your 20s. You had four guys and you did quartet singing, and that was a... That was a huge part of the culture. We sort of forget, you know. So you have this tradition of quartet singing. So you have all these elements. And then I think there's another song as well. There were just so many versions. And, you know, it's definitely not the typical sound of the day. If you revisit what was on the charts at the time surrounding this song.
Let's talk a little bit more about Colors and the songs on it. You mentioned working with Greg Kurstin. You'd worked with him before, and he's the producer of this go-around. I'm wondering what it meant to you and to these songs to bring him in again on this project. You know, he's worked with some real pop powerhouses, you know, like Kelly Clarkson and Sia and Adele.
Yeah, well, Greg and I go way back. He used to tour with me years ago. I introduced him to Sia, actually, in a little dinner at my house, and we sort of forced them to play together. There was a moment where we, Sia had obviously this incredible voice, and I think my brother was there and some friends. I mean, you gotta hear Sia sing, and then I didn't know her song, and then Greg figured it out. They had just met, and then that was, so, you know, there's some history with us, and
I have to ask you, what does it mean to just play at Beck's house? You've got Sia over there, and Greg's there. Was he just hopped on a piano or something, and she's singing with him?
Yeah, I had a piano in my dining room, so we ate dinner, and we were talking, and then my memory is she had some song, and she just sort of sang it to him, and he figured out the chords.
I love that.
And we're just like, I mean, sort of put him on the spot, but we're like, we were talking, like, you guys have to hear Sia sing. Come on.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Well, I mentioned working with Greg and some of the other pop artists he's worked with because, you know, you're an artist who's played around with genres and form a lot over the years, but this time on Colors, it feels like you go all in on really polished pop.
Yeah, so Greg and I we were always breaking down music. You know, when he was touring with me, we'd long conversations for many months about music and all the music we like. And we found that, you know, as much as we liked all the music that we grew up with, we genuinely loved popular music. You know, when he was in the band, we would do Justin Timberlake covers and Beyonce. Mm-hmm. I remember distinctly one summer we were doing festivals and we were doing Crazy in Love, sort of into a Nelly song, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a kind of category of records that you say they're pop records, but they're really, they're pieces of art as well. So that idea of a pop record as a piece of art was something that was really fascinating to me. Like songwriting craft, and that sort of ruthless, you know, that goes all the way back to, you know, Motown and Phil Spector and the Brill Building and that kind of thing. You know, people that were in a building writing hundreds of songs to get the one magic song, you know, that kind of thing. And I've made records that are real rough and raw and just let the tape run and ton of mistakes and make a big mess, because there's something beautiful about that too. But that isn't what this record is. We wanted to do something that was a little more, you know, if it was art, it would be something that was finely wrought and you can tell took a lot of time and a lot of work to do. You know, I think more than anything, I was just sort of curious about what happens when you go there. You sort of hear these stories of, you know, some of these records and everyone's kind of lost their minds. And I think that there's a little bit of truth
in that.
Is the
bar so high or?
No, I think just in the sort of pursuit for of this sort of elusive, great track, you hear the stories from, you know, Brian Wilson or the whole Phil Spector. There's many stories of like the sort of extremes that they would go to make these records, you know, just, and they're kind of miraculous records, like whether it's these sort of Wall of Sound records or Good Vibrations or, you know, things that were really groundbreaking in their time, where I'm sure people heard it on the radio and said, what the hell is that? What universe did that come from, you know?
Let's go back to Colors. Do you mind if I play I'm So Free?
Yeah, absolutely. Really not much guitar on this record when we started out. Like I'd say the first year or two we were working on it.
So much so it stands out on this one when I was listening to the record, I thought.
Yeah, I was really pushing for something that had kind of more heavy, or not heavy, more just raw guitar moment. You know, I think we're sort of in a weird moment in music where the guitar is sort of a stepchild, you know, in the popular consciousness. It's not really at the center, which is fine. I think there's a lot of great music being made without guitars, and we've certainly spent decades exploring it, but it's still a powerful thing. It's a visceral thing. In a way, I think certain genres have to evolve, and it's an incredibly like presumptuous statement to make, but perhaps, you know, we're sort of due for a sort of reinventing or pushing it into, you know, hip hop is sonically, just in the last few years, it's gone to a whole new, like there's a whole new paradigm, there's a whole new sonic place that music has reached, and it's sort of, it's very much an alive form, and it's tough because there is a certain orthodoxy or something, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we really have to tear that apart and maybe try to embrace where we are now. I think, like, you know, and there's a couple albums, you know, there'll be an album like Alabama Shakes where you feel that direct connection to sort of classic guitar music and roots, and but it does feel modern, and I think that's, you know, a record like that really connects because it has this kind of, it's sitting in a modern space, you know.
Let's hear one of those songs from your record, from Colors, that sounds decidedly modern. The song is No Distraction.
Not the tension that I feel.
I wanted to talk about the lyrics on Colors, because these are such pop-heavy songs, and they're very up-tempo and upbeat. But I actually thought, lyrically, these were some sort of, lyrically a lot moodier.
Well, I think of them as, you can write, Stevie can write Don't You Worry About a Thing, or, McCartney, things are getting better, that kind of thing. And I think for me, with this album, the distinction and the way I felt like it would work for me was to write from a place where you've seen and experienced difficulty, struggle, heartbreak, and all these things. But then there is that moment or the thing in your life that reminds you of this sort of beauty, and whether it's in music or nature or, things are complicated. There's a lot of difficulty, trouble, and all that, but, you're still a song. There's these very simple things that make you glad to be alive, and, that's something I wanted to capture in this song. So, yeah, you're right. There's sort of singing about, getting through the lost years or being at the end of your rope. And, honestly, just living in Los Angeles is enough. Getting through a day of being in the city is struggle. But there is that cliche of certain music got me through this hard time or provided some sort of solace. And in a way, I was thinking about that in this record, just the fact that is one of the things that music does.
I was looking for a song to go out on from Colors, and what we've been talking about makes me think of the song Fix Me. Of the puzzle does Fix Me fit?
Fix Me is interesting because it's an old song. It's something I did maybe 10 years ago, and so wasn't really intended for the record. And I wanted all the songs to be up tempo. Mm-hmm. I didn't want any slow songs. Mm-hmm. And it somehow seems to fit with everything else.
Well, it seemed like it fit into an overarching theme that I felt in this record, which is that it's kind of all about learning to enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
And this is a journey that you're still on.
Right. And music is a conduit for some sort of connection, as well as, whether you want to admit it or not, it can have a healing effect. So it's been a powerful force in my life.
Thanks so much, Beck. Be well.
All right. Good talking to you, man.
You too.
Yeah.
Take care.
All right. Take care.
That's Beck talking about his latest album, Colors. For NPR Music, I'm Robin Hilton. It's All Songs Considered.
Skies follow.